We have kind of a unique weekend, a unique Sunday this Sunday, because normally this would be the 13th Sunday in ordinary time. We'd have a regular reading in our cycle, but it just so happens that today is also the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, and so that actually trumps the ordinary time Sunday, and so we get to celebrate Saints Peter and Paul. And I honestly can't remember this ever happening, at least in my life as a priest. And so it's kind of exciting. Maybe you have to be a little bit of a Catholic nerd to get excited about that. But reflecting on the lives of St. Peter and Paul, why would they be celebrated together? Because they were both foundational to the church. And because both of them shared a lot of experiences together. Not necessarily physically together, although there were a couple times when they were. But because they both went through very similar experiences in preaching the gospel. The same experiences that we must also go through as Christians. They both underwent a conversion. They both had an apostolate. And they both experienced martyrdom. Each of us must share in these three experiences. Most of us probably remember, if you think about it for a moment, the conversion of St. Paul. Remember, he was riding on his horse, and he'd been persecuting Christians, and Jesus kind of woke him up, threw him off his horse, and he was blinded. He says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Jesus spoke to him directly, a very dramatic way of bringing about a conversion for Paul. But often when we think about Peter's life, we don't necessarily recognize a conversion. His occurred much more slowly, much less dramatically. You might remember the first time that Jesus encounters Peter. Peter's been out fishing all night. He hasn't caught anything. He's come in, he's cleaning his nets. And Jesus comes up and says, "I want you to go back out there." And Peter's sitting there thinking, "Well, I'm the fisherman and you're the carpenter, so I don't know if I want to take your advice. But if you say to, I will." He goes out and catches a load of fish. And then Jesus says, "Come follow me." Peter then denies Jesus as he's going to his crucifixion. And then later again is given an opportunity three times to affirm his love for Jesus. So you see, Peter had this experience of kind of ups and downs. And there are people here in this congregation today who can identify with either one of these two conversion experiences. Either one that's more gradual, more up and down, more back and forth. And we're one that's very dramatic. One where you've kind of had an aha moment or woke up. I remember when I went to college in Steubenville, Ohio, a very Catholic college, one of the things they would ask you often is, "What's your conversion story?" And I remember when people would ask me this, I'd kind of scratch my head and think, "Well, I don't have one. I grew up Catholic. I never joined a, you know, satanic cult. I never did drugs. You know, I've never been to the South Pole. I don't have anything fantastic to share with you." But it did get me thinking about how has God worked in my life, and that's your conversion story. Why do each of us need a conversion story? Because we each need to be able to tell the world about what Jesus has done for us. So what's yours? Whether dramatic or not, each one of you has one. Peter and Paul both had an apostolate. You see, they take this conversion and then they go out to the world with it. The definition of an apostle is one who is sent out. That's why the priest at the end of Mass says, "Go in peace," or, see, I never can say parts of the Mass outside the context of the Mass, you know, but "Go and announce the gospel of the Lord." There we go. Took me a minute. That's why he says, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. He doesn't say, get your keys and your purse and get ready to flee like rats from a sinking ship. Go out and preach the gospel. Go out and tell the good news. Go out and tell your conversion story. Peter went to the Jews. Paul to the Gentiles. An apostolate is who you are sent to. And each one of you has an apostolate. I've been following on Facebook lately a couple friends. A couple of people I went to college with, Jonathan and Teresa, they have 5 kids, 4 girls, 1 boy. He's the youngest, poor guy. And they signed up, interestingly enough, for their whole family to go down to Mexico and be missionaries. Mom, dad, and the 5 kids all moved down to Mexico. They sold their house here, put their stuff in storage, went down to Mexico. I know another couple here in town. They have 4 girls. They actually went to the Philippines with the same organization. And they're living in the Philippines. I saw the other day they built a house. That's their mission territory. That's their apostolate. And that might be a more dramatic example, but every single one of you here today has an apostolate. You're sent somewhere. And too many of us, we grow up as Catholic and we kind of get complacent thinking, well, I'm okay just sitting here being Catholic. But there's a crucial part of being Catholic, and that's going out, being sent, having an apostolate. The third shared experience that both Peter and Paul had was one of martyrdom. Now, they were both martyred at the hands of Nero in Rome in the year 67 AD. Now, keep in mind, this is 34 years after Jesus died. Now, I don't know about you, but if I said, for instance, let's say at the end of Mass, I say, guys, I'm going on vacation, I'll be back. You say, oh, you know, Father, I'll be back next weekend or the weekend after that. What if I waited 34 years? You'd probably give up hope after a couple, wouldn't you? Oh, Father ran away. He got tired of us. I mean, just put yourselves in the shoes of Peter and Paul for a second. Jesus says, I'm coming back, and then 34 years later, they're actually more convicted about their faith than they were at first. They've told more people in the world about Jesus 34 years later. That's the kind of faith that Jesus asks of each of us. And that's the kind of faith that makes one willing to suffer for a good cause. Paul was a Roman citizen, and so he was, quote unquote, lucky. He got his head cut off with a sword. A quick death. Peter was sentenced to crucifixion. Now, as he was being crucified, he asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to suffer like Jesus did. How many of us would have that much courage? You know, it occurred to me last week, I was praying one evening, and I don't know, kind of an aha moment, but at least for me, and I know this might not be true for everybody, but I really figured out for me, life comes down to one decision. How am I going to handle suffering? I mean, really, my whole life, my whole orientation towards God, whether I go to heaven or hell, how good a Christian I am, boils down to one decision that I make over and over and over again. How am I going to handle suffering and trial and the bad stuff in life? Because I can either go to the television for comfort or the refrigerator for comfort or the bottle for comfort. Or I can go to Jesus and suffer with him. And as I was praying about this, I got the need a sense, this deep feeling inside of Jesus suffering in the garden. And just like he said to his apostles back then, will you wait with me? Will you be with me? Jesus is asking each one of us to be with him in that garden, to stand by him at that cross, asking each of us if we're willing to suffer with him, not for the sake of suffering. And this is what really caught me when I was praying about this. And I don't know if this is theologically accurate or not, but it's what God kind of said to my heart, is it brings him comfort to know that I'm there with him. You know? And all of you have had that experience when you're suffering or sick. I remember when I was a little kid and sick, Mom would come in and just sit with me, right? Rub your back, pat your back while you're throwing up, whatever it is. She'd give you comfort. And I got this overwhelming sense that it brought Jesus comfort for me to simply suffer with him. Each one of us have the opportunity to offer up our suffering with Jesus, to be a martyr. Not to play the martyr, but to be one with Jesus in his suffering. A couple years ago, I got together with my family. I think it was at Easter, Christmas, and my brother Joe, who sometimes likes to be the antagonist in the family, he brought up this quote from Pope Benedict at the time. Pope Benedict had said that more Christians needed to give their children Christian names instead of weird names. And my brother Joe took issue with this because he says, well, how did those become Christian names in the first place? It's because some guy who wasn't Christian became a great saint, and that's why it's a Christian name. Like Anthony or Matthew or John. They only became great Christian names because somebody decided to become a Christian. So why can't we name our kids whatever we want and then make them good Christians? And he had a fair point. But I'm a priest. I have to automatically defend the Pope, right? I got to toe the party line. And even though I agreed with my brother, I took the other side of the issue. We ended up arguing about it and didn't talk for 2 weeks. Talk about being a Catholic nerd. But his point has really stuck with me over the years, especially as I'm baptizing children with names I've never heard of, especially spellings I've never heard of. Did you know there's like 100 ways to spell Braden? You parents, you're creative people. And yet each one of those is an opportunity to become a saint. Each one of those is a name that people can remember as being a holy person. You can see it can be a temptation to think that we're far removed from Peter and Paul, these two pillars of the church. But you too can be a pillar, a foundation, as our opening prayer said, of the church. You too can be a saint. Your name can be one that we call Christian. Each one of us here today, like Peter and Paul, are called to have a conversion story. What's your conversion story? Can you tell another person how God has worked in your life? And do you? What is your apostolate, your mission territory? Where are you sent? Is it to a foreign land? Or perhaps just the courage to preach the gospel where you are? Finally, how do you handle hardship in life? By turning to the comforts of this world? Or by comforting the Savior who will lead you to eternal life.